All right, gang, 7:39 on the WJT Morning News. It is time for the July edition of Ask the Doctor with Dr. Keith Verbicki. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
And we have a couple of special guests. Tina Nelson, she's standing over here in the corner of the studio as far away from the microphones as she can get. But she is with Myriad Genetics, and its spokesperson today is Andrea Paragis.
Yes.
How did I do with that, Andrea?
Nailed it.
Okay. She is a certified genetic counselor and medical science liaison for Myriad Genetics. So I guess let's start with you, Andrea. For patients who might not know, what exactly does a genetic counselor do?
Yeah. So genetic counselors are exactly as they sound. They are medical providers that are master's trained in both genetics and counseling. So our job is to really help explain complex genetic concepts to the best of our abilities as it pertains to patients, for their health, for the health of a pregnancy, or the health of family members. But then there are other genetic counselors that work in all aspects of healthcare, and including myself, that works for a laboratory. So okay. As a medical science liaison, I don't partner with patients, but partner with providers. And my job is to really help providers understand how genetics plays a role in their practice and how they can adapt genetics into the care that they're giving their patients and do it with confidence.
Okay. Does it mostly focus on cancer or all things?
Yeah, it can be multiple different things. I specifically work in our family health division. So I do hereditary cancer. So specifically looking at hereditary cancer risk in individuals who see their OBGYN or their primary care provider. Mm-hmm. But then I also do some work in the prenatal area. So think about some of the screening you do for things like Down syndrome or cystic fibrosis.
I see. Okay, so tell us a little bit more, because we're going to focus on this today, Myriad's hereditary cancer risk assessment. What is that?
Yeah, so every single patient that walks through the door has some level of cancer risk, right? And they typically fall into three different buckets that we see. There's a general population risk that every single person just has, and that's why we have our general population screening. Think your mammograms at 40, colonoscopy now at 45, those types of screenings just for that general population risk. We also have individuals who have hereditary cancer risk, meaning there's a specific change within their genetics that significantly increases their risk. A lot of people have heard of things like the BRCA gene before, right? We call them BRCA1 and BRCA2, but they can increase cancer risk up to 87% for something like breast cancer. And then you see increased risk for other cancers like ovarian, pancreatic, prostate, melanoma. So lots of different cancers can be associated with these genes. So that's hereditary cancer risk, about 5 to 10% of cancers.
Okay.
And then the last bucket is going to be familial cancer risk. Think about there's something going through that family history. So family history is important, but the way that that interacts with our environment, think history of smoking, weight, all of those different factors can also influence that cancer risk. So what we do at Myriad is we try to develop tools to work with providers to help identify what a patient's individual risk is and put them into one of these risk buckets, because knowing which risk bucket you are and knowing what your risk is really changes your care plan and allows us to create individual medical management changes that can really help a patient through the course of their lifetime when thinking about their cancer risk.
Andrea Paragis is our guest this morning. She's a certified genetic counselor and medical science liaison for Myriad Genetics, here with Dr. Keith Verbicki today on Ask the Doctor. So, Andrea, who should get MyRisk?
Yeah, so MyRisk is our hereditary cancer test that has 63 different genes over 11 different cancer types. And it's not currently recommended for every single person, but there are criteria and guidelines set forth by professional societies that really help us to identify who are those highest risk patients that might fall into that hereditary or familial cancer risk buckets. Mm-hmm. So we provide the tools, the providers can use these to identify these patients, and then they can go forward and do testing if that's something that they do after talking more with their provider.
Okay, so then when it comes to the family history, what are the flags we look for here?
Yeah. Yes, family history is one of the most important factors that we're looking at when we're seeing who meets criteria for testing. So if you have a family history that has multiple young or rare, so multiple individuals in the family with the same type of cancer on either both mom or dad's side, both sides of the family history are really important. An individual who has had multiple cancers themselves, very important. young cancers, any cancer under the age of 50 is really something that flags in a family history as maybe we should consider, do we fall into one of those higher category risk buckets? Mm-hmm. And then rare cancers, a family history of things like ovarian, pancreatic, a male breast cancer, those are things that we don't see every day. And if you have those in your family history, again, make us want to consider doing genetic testing, because if we know that there's a change within the genetic information, that significantly higher cancer risk is going to make us want to do very different screening or treatment recommendations for these patients to either catch cancer early or try to prevent it altogether.
I was going to say, stay out ahead of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say somebody qualifies for testing, then what are the steps? What happens next?
Yeah, so if somebody qualifies for testing, it's really a conversation with their provider as to make sure they get their questions answered. And then we typically recommend ordering the MyRisk testing. That test can be done either via blood or saliva sample, and results come back in about 2 weeks. We get questions a lot about cost, but because we're taking the extra step in the beginning to identify those patients that meet criteria, the majority of patients are seeing insurance coverage for this testing.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to make sure that cost is not a barrier to any testing that we're seeing. So we really try to work directly with patients to make sure that they're getting this critical information without cost being a problem.
Well, it's from the insurance company's perspective, it's a better investment to invest on the front end rather than on the back end after, you know, after a diagnosis. It's kind of like the insurance company covering the chip in your windshield rather than the crack. It's a lot easier to deal with the chip, so I'm going to cover that. All right, so Dr. Verbicki, you've been quiet over here this morning.
I'm learning.
So, yeah, I am too. So let's discuss this event that you have coming up here.
Yes, you know, this whole aspect, Jeffrey, too, of genomics in medicine is really exploding. And I just kind of also want to emphasize that if the testing would find that we have a mutation, we inherited it, and it's in our genes, it does not mean that we're going to get that cancer. But it does mean that we are at higher risk. And, you know, I think most cancers should be thought of as a metabolic disease, not a genetic disease. I think it's really important that we know if we have that tendency or risk of getting cancer. It would may perhaps change our lifestyle, improve our metabolic health, our lifestyles, our diet, our nutrition, our exercise, et cetera. So tremendous value in being able to know. we're going to be offering consultations with Tina and Andrea at our office today from 10 to 2. It's free to the public. Walk in. You don't need an appointment. And they'd love to talk to you. They'll be in our lobby. And everyone, male and female, are welcome.
So you sent me this family history questionnaire. Is
yes.
that what we'll fill out today?
Yeah, they've moved it to an online type of thing. But
okay.
Yes. And, you know, back to family history, that's so important. And I think as clinicians, we're taught, you know, take a good family history. But really, for this type of thing, if you can get back three generations, tough to do sometimes with families being separated so much nowadays. But
mm-hmm.
but that family history is ultra important in assessing our risk and whether or not further testing should be implemented.
Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you can get the cancer types, but also the age of the cancer, that's really, really helpful when we're
thinking
about
age at which they got the cancer.
Exactly, because we're focusing on those younger cancers in the family history too. But again, if there's multiple of them, a lot of times these patients are meeting criteria for testing just due to the sheer volume of cancer in family.
Yeah, and as you know, I think, you know, we're seeing more and more young people develop serious cancers.
I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of wanted to go down that road here. Man, we are just seeing an explosion in cancers in 20 and 30 year old kids.
Yes, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer. And, you know, again, there can be some genetic predispositions that some of these children may inherit. However, you know, we can't forget about the toxins that we're exposed to. And we have herbicides, pesticides, glyphosate. These are very toxic to the metabolic health of our cells. And then the cellular energy gets depleted, cells start becoming abnormal, cancerous.
Yeah, we've talked about this over and over, haven't we?
We have.
On the show.
And
that's why I encourage people to go, you know, go to our podcast page, Go to WJG.com, click on podcast, and then find Ask the Doctor. I think we're, you know, past 3 years of doing this now. Go back and listen to all of these programs, because that's kind of the common thread here.
It is. It is. You know, we have to really pay attention to God made this beautiful body, and we've done a bad job, many of us, in keeping it healthy. But once we know that we can restore the health of the body by improving our lifestyle, our diet, our exercising, mm-hmm. being out in the sun, grounding, many of the things we've talked about, really makes a difference at the cellular energy production level, protecting us from getting sick.
The elemental things that used to be in our food chain that no longer are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that apple you eat today is about 7 times less vitamin C in it than it had about 15 years ago. Isn't that something? Why? Because our soil is not what it used to be. And there's a big problem now with the health of our soil in our country because of modern farming practices. And there's a big push toward regenerative farming to improve the health of the soil. The challenge is, you know, America feeds the world, and we need that yield to be able to produce so much food. But we want to start producing healthier food, and that's an aspect that I'm particularly interested in, is regenerative farming.
Right. Our push for volume has kind of cost us in that.
Amen.
For sure. Completely off the subject here, but this diarrhea outbreak that we're seeing here across the Midwest, people wanted me to ask you a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it's explosive diarrhea. Usually people...
Ooh, I hate that word in front of...
Yeah, I know.
Diarrhea is a bad enough word, and then you put that in front of it.
I had that happen to me, and that's a good word for it. Because, you know, you sit down and explode.
Yeah.
But it usually starts with just suddenly you get a lot of abdominal cramping. So the intestinal tract is infected by this parasite, inflammation, and then the spasm of the colon starts. And then the diarrhea begins. So it's this particular bug is Cyclospora. It's from probably, they think, vegetables, mm-hmm. and some of the fruits might be contaminated with it. And if one is suspecting, we do have some cases in Nebraska. If you're suspicious, that can be cultured for. It sends stool in for culture. If I have Cyclospora, those people should go on sulfa medication right away. Bactrim is the typical one, taking that for about 2 weeks, and it decreases the length and severity of the disease rather quickly.
Left untreated, though, it can go on for months.
Yes, that's why you don't want to mess with this, because, you know, you're talking depletion of electrolytes, you know, you're talking dehydration, and if particularly, you know, in people, the elderly, it can be devastating.
Mm, for sure. Okay, now one more time, coming up today at Midwest Health Partners, you can do a live screening and testing on genetic determinism. Is that the word?
Yeah, gene determinism. Yeah. Well, it's basically what they're screening for. It is, did I inherit this mutation? Am I at risk for illness because I inherited in my genes, in my chromosomes, a mutation?
All right, so people just need to drop by. They don't need to call ahead?
Nope. The okay. ladies are wonderful to work with. These are true professionals, and they're really nice people to visit with, and they're very knowledgeable.
Stop by their office on North 13th Street at Midwest Health Partners. Dr. Keith Verbicki, thank you so much. Thank you, Andrea. And thank you to our silent partner over here, Tina. Tina, just yell so it... There we go. Okay. Otherwise, people might think I'm lying, that there's not actually anybody in here. So check that out today, folks, and take advantage. 7:52 on the WJG Morning News. The Commando Consumer Tech Update on the way here in Fox Radio News at the top of the hour.
School will be back in session before we know it. And that means school and sports physicals. At Midwest Health Partners.